This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Heyo, it is Sharp Money as we say hi on a Tuesday. Do have some news as we start off the show, but first, I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Of course, Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw back at the South Point there. In Las Vegas, we've got Zach Harper joining. We've got Adam Burke, a Berkey Tuesday. A couple of things. One, we are just now 2 days away from our NFL betting guide dropping early this year. It's awesome. Excited to get it. I'll get it when you get it. But make sure you sign up, vsin.com/subscribe. With that, once an hour, all week, every show here on VSIN is going back to the guide. So Zach Taylor and the Bengals for Mr. Amal Shaw coming up in a little bit. I'll tackle the Jets today, and Adam Burke is going to go AFC South. So plenty to do, boys, as we start up a show today on this June 27th as we kind of ramp up the summer. Amal Shaw, how are we feeling?
Feeling good, and I'll tell you what, I can't believe we're getting closer and closer to start talking football and college, especially on a daily basis. I can't wait for it.
You can't believe it. Believe it, buddy. It happens every single year. I swear to God, it's going to happen every single year.
No, but it always seems like
year.
At this time of the year, it goes so slow. But Dustin and I were talking, we're already at the end of June. And before you know it, you're like, I'll take this time. We'll slowly get into it. And I mean, training camp will be 3 weeks in and we'll be ready for the regular season.
Yep. We're just about, 4 weeks away from training camp opening up. And then don't worry, you'll have sedentary Saturdays and Sundays to look forward to as the fall quickly approaches. The freaking big guy is here. I think he's in a better mood today. Dustin Sweetelson, of course. Just ask him. He's a big deal. What's cracking?
You guys are both right. You know, we're so close to football, but it's still a little bit far away. You know what would be really cool, though? If we could just take off for 4 weeks and show up and it's football season.
Yeah, totally. We should all try to plan that. Hey, you only live once. You might as well plan it how you want it. Build your life. Don't let it be built for you. Okay, big guy. Now it's pretty good. It's not terrible. It's not great, but it's not terrible, big guy. A couple of things. One, speaking of Dustin, okay, you take a shot at me. Let's take a shot at you. Your Mets are pretty good this year. So I'm looking at the standings right now. The Mets have a huge payroll. When I say huge, it's the biggest in baseball. 35-43, a listless performance yesterday. Verlander got out of trouble, but they managed just three hits against Milwaukee. And today, now talk about ego. I'm guessing this means Buck Showalter. So your wish will be granted, big guy. Buck Showalter looks like he's going to be fired because this was a tweet. Oh, I'm guessing just about 30 minutes ago from Mets owner Steve Cohen. He said, quote, "I will be doing a press conference tomorrow before the game. You will get it straight from me." Cryptic. A little nebulous, but again, Steve Cohen, I don't know if you have a reaction here, Amal Shaw. He said, "I will be doing," and this is when you give people over the age of, 50 Twitter, they can't control themselves. They can't handle it. "I will be doing a press conference tomorrow before the game. You will get it straight from me." What are we taking here from Steve Cohen?
I really don't know. I mean, look, making a switch at this point in time, I don't know if it's going to do much for them to salvage their season. This thing got off to a rough start for them when Edwin Diaz got hurt during the World Baseball Classic. You lose one of the best closers in baseball, and a strength was expected to be the bullpen. It hasn't been the case because the starting pitching can't go that long in games, Patrick. This team is sitting, 15, 16 games out of first place in terms of the Atlanta Braves? 16 games. I mean, we talked about it yesterday on the show. I don't recall ever seeing a team having greater odds to win a division than to win the World Series.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. 15 games, so we get back to a big time schedule there in Major League Baseball today, which we'll get to. Some good matchups. Big guy, Steve Cohen, he is your owner. He came in, he spent money. Remember, the Wilpons were a disaster for Mets fans. Why? Two words, one name, Bernie Madoff. Okay? They got involved in a Ponzi scheme and they couldn't spend cash on the Mets. Here comes Steve Cohen with endless money, bottomless pockets, spends a bunch of cash. Last year was exciting. This year it crashed. And he is cryptically talking on Twitter. "I will be doing a press conference tomorrow before the game. You will get it straight from me." Big guy, your reaction?
Well, the fact that he's telegraphing it and letting us know 24 hours in advance that he's doing it means that Buck Showalter's job is safe. which is really depressing because Buck Showalter sounds like a deranged person in every press conference after these games, acting like things are okay. He's that dog meme that's on fire. Everything around him on fire. It's just like everything's fine. Everything's good. This team doesn't have a pulse, buddy. This team is listless. They are barely breathing. They need a ventilator or an oxygen tank because they have nothing on the inside of their body. They are shell-less scales of human beings wearing gloves and swinging bats. There isn't an organ on the inside of them that matters. They have absolutely no life. They are a joke. And the only one in the organization who has upheld his end of the bargain is the owner, Steve Cohen.
By the way, I thought I saw the coroner walking in.
Just want them to have some guts and some fortitude and show a little bit of heart and a little bit of metal. They have nothing. They are soulless human beings wandering like zombies from The Walking Dead. They are just chomping away at the air, hoping that they hit a baseball.
I didn't know we were talking about the Atlanta Braves.
It is list season. Maybe we could list of importance organs. You know, you just mentioned they don't have an organ inside of them that matters. It's list season. It's July, June 27th. Anyway, your Mets. So you're saying you don't believe as though Buck Showalter is going to get fired. I don't know. This is, I was joking about giving somebody like my dad's age Twitter, but this is a joke. I mean, Steve Cohen, he can do what he wants, but this is an attention grab. I will be doing a press conference tomorrow before the game. You will get it straight from me. So he's being very cryptic. You're saying because he's being so cryptic, there's no way that could lead to Buck's firing?
No, I think because he's letting you know if he was going to fire Buck, he would just do it today. Like he wouldn't announce if you think someone is worth firing, why are you keeping them on staff for another day? You're going to pay out the contract anyway, so just let them go now. No, I mean, if I had it my way, I mean, we'd be firing the bullpen coach. We'd be firing the third base coach, Joey Cora. We'd be firing Eric Hinsky. We'd be firing Jeremy Barnes. We'd be firing every single person on the staff. Freaking Jeremy Hefner, the biggest joke of them all, this pitching coach that was left over from the last regime that everyone acted like had to be on Buck's staff because he was so tight in the organization.
See, this is what happens.
Pitching stink,
this is what happens. We start
stink.
Attacking things we have no clue. You have zero clue what you're talking about. No offense. I love you. You have no clue what you're talking about. We attack the ancillary parts of these staffs. It's the hitting. It's always the batting coach. It's always the hitting coach. It's always the pitching coach. It's never just the talent on the field or the lack thereof.
Can't fire the players. Got to fire someone. Someone's got to know this is not acceptable. It's not acceptable. I'm sick of being embarrassed by this organization. I'm not kidding you.
You're not always embarrassed by the organization. They were very good last year.
They embarrassed down the stretch and lost the division, which forced them to have to play in the wild card and take on a San Diego Padres team that had more pitching and was better built for the playoffs. They embarrassed me a year ago. They've embarrassed me my entire life. They always come up short, and when they're not coming up short, they're not even in the mix. This organization's a joke. In fact, when the A's moved to Vegas, if the Mets don't win a World Series between now and when the A's move to Vegas, I'm an A's fan because I see more hope in that organization.
Solid shtick to start the show from the big guy. All of a sudden, he's going to be a Las Vegas A's fan. There is no freaking chance. You're 38 years old. You're in bed with this Mets team. I understand wanting to fire the hitting coach and the pitching coach and make a move. You mentioned last year how many teams were left for dead and came back, including the Phillies, who ended up in the World Series. So I understand wanting to make a move. Oftentimes it's making a move for making a move's sake. So what do you think? If it's not going to be firing Buck, what is this cryptic message from the Mets owner today? What does it mean?
He's going to be ultra professional and super PC and just be like, hey guys, I know things haven't gone how we all planned, but we still believe in the core of this team, and we're not going to break it up and be sellers at the deadline. We have the rest of the season to turn this thing around, and God willing, everyone plays to their ability, and we end up making a push for the postseason. But make no mistake about it, as the owner of the New York Mets, I, Steve Cohen, am speaking like a loser and still believe in everything that we've done to put this organization together.
Dude, you can't blame an owner.
I'm not.
That after Mets fans freaking bitch nonsense. It was there for 9 years. I listened to it every single day. They bitch nonstop about the Wilpons. You got this guy that has endless pockets, comes in and spends endless amounts of money. Now we're pissed at Cohen?
No.
Ooh, come on.
Like I said, he's the only one who's held up his end of the bargain. But okay, if he's gonna then mirror the loser speak that Buck Showalter has been doing after these games and act like everything's okay, then
what
he's acting
like
Buck a loser.
To do? Okay, honest question. What do you want Buck to do?
Be honest.
You want Buck to come out and start crying and running around with his hands up in the air and say,
what?
I don't know what to do anymore?
Say, you know what? I botched it. Should have used David Robertson in the eighth. Couldn't
wait for
the ninth.
There would be one game you're talking about, one pitching change you're talking about.
They lost. They got swept lost two out of three a few weeks ago. And he said, everything's fine. I still believe in the guys. Why? What leads you to believe in this team?
Well, but hold on a second. Patrick's right. You think he's going to come out and say, hey, I got to tell you, I'm stuck with these losers. Let's just see if we can get through September here and get ready for spring training.
No. Use coded words to light something underneath them. Show me a little bit. This team last year came back, left for dead so many times in games, down like 5, 6, 7 runs, and they were never out of it. They never said die. They were freaking Goonies. They were awesome. And this year, they can't even get in the mix. The Brewers, who can't hit a lick, beat them yesterday.
Like, yeah, that's fair.
I don't understand it. When they don't hit, they don't pitch. When they don't pitch, they don't hit. They are just an embarrassing team.
When you said when they don't pitch, they don't hit, you know, I knew you were going to say the opposite coming back the other way.
Well, because it's definitely
happening.
I was fine until we brought up the Mets. Like, I was good. And then, like, this was, like, you passive-aggressively, like, if we were dating, like, slamming cabinets, trying to see if you could trigger me.
Well, I'm not trying to trigger you, but I think they're in a terrible spot today. Tehran's been pitching really well this year, and Peterson throws absolute lollipops as a lefty. Now, the Brewers don't hit lefties, but what is the price right now? Plus 130 on the Brewers today? Yes, please. Mets lose another. The press conference tomorrow with the owner should be fascinating. We're just getting started. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yeah, I had that in my notes, big guy. So we're talking baseball as we welcome you back. Here on Sharp Money, it is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're going to jump in to today's slate on the diamond. 15 games, including that Brewers-Mets matchup. We're talking the Mets because Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets, and I was just talking to Amal and Dustin during the break as we welcome you back. Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw in Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher. I was talking to the boys, and I said, well, if Steve Cohen, now a little context on Cohen, is the TV show Billions? Is that what it's called? Billions, because I've never seen it, but I know it's very popular. I'm not pretending like I don't know that what's happening in the zeitgeist. For context, the show was made, the main protagonist is him. Like, it's based off of the real life Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets. Steve Cohen bought the Mets, lifelong fan of the Mets, came out today on Twitter. And again, Twitter's interesting. It's like somebody past the age of 50, when they get on Twitter, it's always like they had 2 gin and tonics. You know what I mean? Like that buzz where it's kind of, they're getting off on the attention, can't quite control themselves, but they're having fun. They're loose as a goose. So he said today, I will be doing a press conference tomorrow before the game. You will get it straight from me. Dustin, who's a bigger Mets fan than anybody I know outside of Evan Roberts, said that means Buck Showalter's not getting fired. He's going to have a State of the Union Cohen to say, everybody settle down, stay medium. No reason to trip out. And before I get your reaction, let's hear from Justin Verlander, who they paid a ton of cash to, says this is not how it was supposed to go.
I don't think anybody saw this coming, man. Disappointing. It's disappointing for everybody in this room. I know it's disappointing for the fans. Just got to just keep trying. You know, I if there's one thing that I know the guys in this room are doing is trying our ass off. You know, it is, every day we come to the park, myself, it's trying to get better and figure out what's off. And I know that most of the guys in this room are the same way. And, hopefully it clicks for everybody, but, we gotta get going, soon.
It sounds like me, like first 3 weeks of Sharp Money after the show, asked how it's going. I'm just like, gosh, I don't know. We just got to get better. it's not Amal's fault. It's not Dustin's fault. Do we have that set up? If we're downstairs, this is John Goulet calling Patrick Maher after 3 weeks into Sharp Money. And here is my answer. Let's go ahead and play it.
I don't think anybody saw this coming, man. Disappointing. It's disappointing for everybody in this room. I know it's disappointing for the fans. Just keep trying, you know. I, if there's one thing that I know the guys in this room are doing is trying our ass off. You know, there's, every day we come to the park. Myself, it's trying to get better and figure out what's off. And I know that most of the guys in this room are the same way. And hopefully it clicks for everybody. But we gotta get going soon.
Look, I know Amal's trying. I know Dustin's trying. I swear I'm trying. We'll click, and I think we have. But at the beginning, that was my answer. I don't know. I don't know how to handle it. Anyway, that's funny.
First of all, I love, the laughter from him. And do you want to throw him out with Buck Showalter as well? Because he said, hey, man, everybody in this room, we're all trying.
That's we're cool. Trying. No one. This is always my issue in these instances. No one's doubting that you're trying, you're giving it your best, and that you guys mean well every single day trying to win. No one's doubting that. All we're doubting is your ability to actually win games. Like, that's all I'm saying is I doubt you are all capable as compromised together of being a winning baseball team. And I don't know why. It doesn't make sense. Like, Jeff McNeil has been awful, won the batting title a year ago. Pete Alonso came back from getting hit by a pitch with the wrist injury too early. He hasn't looked quite right. Francisco Lindor makes no sense. If you look up him in a bunch of key offensive stats,
he's a buster.
But here's what's frustrating. He's going to rank among NL shortstops in like the top three or four in most categories. But when you watch him play every day, when you watch him at the plate, he stinks
buster.
Right now. Stinks. The only one worth it right now is Brandon Nimmo, who got a new contract in the offseason, but his effort hasn't changed.
Yeah, you found him. Hey, the one thing, you're bitching about Verlander. You're laughing. You're bitching about Verlander, and I know he struggled to get out of trouble, but that's what vets do. 5 innings pitch, he gave up nothing earned last night. It's not on Verlander. Why are you bitching about him?
I'd also say he may not be healthy. I have suspicions that...
He just gave you 5 strong last night.
Five decent last night. He was very, very close to that game getting ugly multiple times.
Amal Shaw, you're a baseball savant. Last time I checked, 0 earned runs, nothing scored on a pitcher, 5 innings pitch. Give me something. A 40-year-old, there's nothing wrong with that.
I got to side with both of you on this one, and I'm not trying to straddle the fence here, but the thing was the Brewers get picked off at first base with runners on first and second on a throw behind the runner on a strike. The other thing is they just couldn't get a clutch hit, but give Verlander a ton of credit. I remember Gary Cohen mentioned it during, or it might have been Keith Hernandez during the game last night. By the way, I get so annoyed when there's a Mets broadcast and Ron Darling is not there. It's like Ron Darling to me is the best analyst in sports, but you know, he talked about the Brewers couldn't take advantage of opportunities, but they said this is a veteran pitcher. He finds a way through. He was struggling early on, and you're absolutely right, Patrick. At the end of the day, he only gave up the number of hits he gave, I think, was like 4 or 5, but he didn't give up any runs. That's the most important statistic. And then, of course, the bullpen falters down the stretch.
You're such a freaking buster, big guy. See, this is what you do, and you do it in every walk of life. I just gave you straight facts, and you just heard it from Amal. Look, he got out of trouble, but again, that's what vets do. Yeah, 5 hits over 5, 2 walks, struck out 5, nothing earned on Verlander, and you're still bitching. This is why you're a buster, because when you find an argument, you get in that pocket, and you refuse to get out. You'll just continue to double down on your argument, and that's where we find ourselves right now. You bitching about the Mets. And we can't move on.
He was brought in to win big games, not beat the Tigers and the Reds. 6 earned in 5 against the Tampa Bay Rays.
The Reds are the best team in baseball.
This is before the Reds were good. at Atlanta, 3 innings, 4 earned. At Houston, 7 innings, 4 earned. He was brought in to beat the good teams. Congrats on beating... Not even beating the Brewers.
He didn't beat the Tigers either.
Oh, he lost 2-0.
Reverse run line that game.
Yeah.
Sentimentality, played for them for his whole entire career. Throw it out.
I'm just saying, Justin Verlander, this is not what we brought you in to do. That's all. We brought you in.
You're shocked that a 40-year-old potentially could be declined.
He was the best pitcher in baseball last year.
New league.
No, it doesn't count anymore. No, this whole honestly, it's not his fault because he put the jersey on.
No, it's not his fault. It was his fault 10 seconds ago.
No, him becoming this is not his fault. Last night, he barely escaped with a decent start. He put on this jersey and this stink just rubbed off onto him, got into his bloodstream, and unfortunately for him now, he's forever tainted as a Met. Forever. Seen it happen to a million players. Players that were good before they got to the Mets and then stunk, i.e. Roberto Alomar. Players who were meh when they were Mets, went somewhere else, became awesome superstars, i.e. Jeff Kent. Happens all the time. Once you put that jersey on, though, everything kind of falls apart.
Kent Litt, Hall of Famer, Jeff Kent, by the way.
Should be.
Amal?
I don't disagree with you on any of what you're saying in terms of you're saying towards Dustin. I mean, at one end, you're saying it's their fault. One end, it's not. Look, at the end of the day,
he's a buster.
At the end of the day, this team is just not playing well. And I think sometimes also, and we talked about this in the NFL, Dustin and I talked on the phone about this. If a team gets off to a fast start, 3-0, 4-0, one that wasn't expected to do well, it seems like that may propel them to a potential good season and get to the postseason. And I think it's gone the same way here with the Mets. They got off to a slow start. They've been struggling. And now things have spiraled downward. And you look up in the standings, and Atlanta just continues to climb higher and higher.
Struggling's too nice.
Hey, big guy.
They're horrible to watch. By the way, this is a betting network. The New York Mets are unbettable until further notice. You cannot
hey,
place
can
a
I
bet on this
I ask you a question? I swear to you, and I apologize. I've called you like a buster like seven times in the last 2 minutes, so I apologize. Buster's bad connotation. But something you and I can both agree on. We're talking about your favorite team in the Mets. We both agree tonight's an awesome spot to fade them, correct? The Brewers are plus 130. Why do the Mets keep getting priced like this? It's just like that getaway game in Philly where they were favorites and got blown out the other night. Like, I don't understand why the Mets continue to be favorites of 140 over a team in the Brewers who are better than them. Teron's pitching. Teron's been great this year. You've got Peterson, who's got an 8-plus ERA, 5-plus expected ERA. He's a lefty that gets shelled on the regular. Why are they favorites here?
Here's the thing. David Peterson, as he is right now, should not be a $1.45 favorite to anyone, let alone a pitcher like Julio Teheran, who has been awesome since joining the Brewers. However, while I did bet Milwaukee plus $1.30, I know my Mets. They will always ruin my life. So therefore,
Beat
I'm going to lose
Mets.
This bet, and they're going to win the game
Mets.
Tonight.
Step right up and greet the Mets. How's the rest of it go? Sing us out. Come on, man. Come
grab
on. We're going to get
kiddies,
the
grab your wife. Guaranteed to have the
to
time
have
of
a
your
beautiful
life
night.
Because the Mets are really sucking the ball, knocking those home runs over the wall.
The guy drops on Thursday. Amal Shaw and the Bengals and Zach Taylor next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Shout to the squad downstairs. Heard Liz counting us in. Always a great job. It's always football season here at VSIN, which is why we're giving you our 2023 NFL guide early. Remember, it's coming out this Thursday. Our NFL betting guide, better than ever this year, will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season. It's great because you just have plenty of time to let it marinate this year. In-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. In fact, Adam Burke's going to be in talking about the Cincinnati Bengals as far as the win totals. We'll get to that. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19. Reserve your copy. If you get over there right now and become a pro, you'll be one of the first to get the copy on Thursday. Or you could take advantage of our summer kickoff special. This is something I prefer. You get everything for $175 through the Super Bowl. Don't have to worry about paying a monthly fee. It's just boom. One time, $175, you're donezo. VSiN.com/subscribe. We got you back here. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, is fired up going after his Mets. I do like the Brewers tonight, plus 130. Peterson's just a shell. And again, I understand the Brewers don't necessarily hit lefties, but whatever. Peterson stinks. He's got an 8 ERA. Let's be fair. He throws lollipops up there.
I don't understand. Awesome. I don't understand the number. Like, Julio Teheran, again, this is like the name brand thing, right, that we keep talking about with baseball. The Padres and Mets have been consistently misnumbered by the sports books, mispriced by the sports books because of their name value. Julio Teheran was like out of baseball and is now back. All of a sudden, we don't trust he can keep this up. He's been really good so far.
Yep. You look deeper into his numbers, it's impressive. So we'll get to some more baseball coming up, including some prices as far as the AL Cy and MVP. But right now, I mentioned we're going to have Adam Burke, Berkey Tuesdays, coming in talking about the guide. Once an hour, we jump into the guide. He broke down the season win totals for the Cincinnati Bengals. I won't give that away, but I do think Amal's got a great take here. So we're going to talk about Zach Taylor and what he's done with the Bengals. And the Bengals are gearing up to win their third AFC North title in a row. But obviously, the division, per usual, is stacked with talent. Now, in order for the Bengals to avoid a third consecutive year at Arrowhead in the NFL playoffs, they're going to want to try to lock down the AFC. So we'll get into the numbers. But Amal Shah, you've got some thoughts. It's not just the Bengals, but overall, the production of their head coach, who's kind of under the radar, in Zach Taylor.
Yeah, absolutely, Patrick. When you look at this guy, people didn't even know who he was when he came in. They remember he played quarterback in Nebraska. They had 2 wins his first year. This is going to be his 5th season. The second year, they have 4 wins. The third year, they have 10 wins. That was Joe Burrow's second year. And then last year, they have 12 wins. They close out the regular season on an 8-game winning streak. You factor in the postseason. They won 2 more games there before they lost that game in Kansas City. And you can make the argument a call went against them that was, you know, one that may not have been called or should have been called. So from that standpoint, he's got this team in the right position every time. Think about that, just that steady increase over time. And I'm going to give you some other stats to kind of just show you how effective Zach Taylor's been from an offensive standpoint. When he took over in his first year, they were 30th in total offense. His second year, they were 29th in total offense. That was Joe Burrow's rookie season. The next year after that, they were 7th. Last year, they were 7th in scoring offense, and they were 26.1 points per game. This is a team that's only gotten better and better. And now you've got Joe Burrow in his 4th year, Ja'Marr Chase in his 3rd year. You've got T. Higgins, Joe Mixon signed through 2024. You've got all the pieces on offense. The one problem that continued to plague this team, Patrick, was the offensive line. They went out and addressed that. We saw 2 years ago, Joe Burrow got sacked a ridiculous 77 times. Last year, he gets sacked 44 times for a combined 121 over the last 2 seasons. So how do you improve upon that? You got to go get an offensive lineman on the left side that can help you out. And here's why I think the benefit of Orlando Brown comes in. I want to get your thoughts on this. You take a piece away from the Kansas City Chiefs of someone that protected Patrick Mahomes. Now you're bringing in a guy that's going to be able to protect the blind side of Joe Burrow. But the biggest benefit is this. Orlando Brown talked about it. Patrick Mahomes is 21st in release time from snap to throw in the NFL. Joe Burrow, Patrick, is number 2.
Yeah, I'm a huge Burrow. I'm glad you brought up Burrow. I freaking love this guy. I'm not sure I'd start with anybody but Burrow. This side of Mahomes, which is fascinating because we're talking obviously about the AFC Amal. First off, 11.5 is the number over at DraftKings. If you want to go over, it's +110 on the Cincinnati Bengals. I went through the schedule because I knew you were going to be discussing them today. I got them at 14 wins, and I'm not kidding. And you can go 3-3 in the North, and I still got them 14 wins. How about the fact that they've got the AFC South? Okay, this is a team, if you look through the schedule, it ain't brutal. And look at the start to the schedule. I got them 5-1 going into the bye. So let's go ahead and take a look. And this was just earlier, just a cursory glance. At the Browns, Baltimore, Rams, Titans, Cardinals, Seahawks, bye. And they host the Seahawks heading into their bye, which is always a key as far as the scheduling. Boom, 6-0, 5-1 going into the break. I mentioned they play the putrid AFC South. It's a team that I've got winning. Look, you got to get the 12 if you want to go over the 11.5, obviously. I think that's a shoo-in. I love this team over.
I would agree with you. Let's take away the AFC division, the AFC North for a second, because they've been challenged in that division. When you look, and I'm going to break down a little bit of their wins and loss over the last couple
years. If they go 3-3, 500 in division, I still got them winning 13, 14 games.
I would agree with you because, look, they're 1-0 against the Buffalo Bills. They did have that game that was postponed, the DeMar Hamlin situation. They beat them on the road in Orchard Park. They are 3-1 against the Kansas City Chiefs in the last 4 meetings in the last 2 seasons. All four of those games have been decided by 3 points, but it seems like they've had the upper hand every time. Kansas City doesn't seem to have an answer for Joe Burrow in this offense, and you brought up another good point, which is, to me, I'm with you. Outside of Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow would be my first pick if you were drafting in terms of starting a franchise today. He's absolutely unbelievable. We're not going to get too many opportunities of getting the Bengals plus points, but if you do, I would recommend taking them anytime you get them this season. I think you'll probably catch points in Kansas City this year when they play late in the season, depending on assuming both teams are healthy. This team, just a couple numbers on them last couple years, 27-13, including the playoffs. They've lost 9 times out of those 13 losses by 3 points or less. Think about how impressive this team is. They are in every one of those games. 5 of the 11 losses have come against the division. So this team competes. Now, division, you have familiarity. I think that's the one area you'd be a little bit concerned. But they're coming off of a bye before they play San Francisco. They get the Buffalo Bills at home on a Sunday night game. I am completely with you, Patrick. I actually think they've got a great shot to start 6-0. Now, the Browns have had their number a little bit. The Browns are 3-1 against them in the last 2 seasons. But still, opening the season, I think you'll see a focused Bengals team. You get the Ravens, as you alluded to. The rest of that schedule is very, very manageable going into the bye. This team has a strong possibility of going into Santa Clara at 6-0 when the season, second half of the season kind of starts for them.
I think the conference, as I laid it out at the beginning of them all, I think the conference is the goal. And so I think they're going to have their foot on the gas. You just nailed it. Potentially 6-0 going into the bye. What a vibe it would be. 12 wins last year. What are you, freaking crazy, big guy? You're not going over at 11.5? Go ahead. Come at me with your contrarian take. I'll shoot it down. Go ahead.
I think if we were drafting, like if there was league pass for the NFL Sunday ticket for whatever it is now on YouTube, like I think the Bengals are the number one pick that you want to watch every week because the offense is so dynamic.
I just love Burrow.
They have so many weapons. They have a run game if Mixon is back. They, like Amal pointed out, the O-line will be better, but I think this defense doesn't get enough credit.
I agree with you.
Because they do the one thing you need to do, and the one thing that makes every other aspect of your defense better is they get to the quarterback. So you got Hubbard and Hendrickson on the ends. They get after the quarterback. They have a great pass rush, which then makes your secondary better, and they can take advantage of mistakes more. And I think this defense is the most slept-on unit maybe in all of football.
I would agree with you there. And guys, real quick, couple of things. Yesterday I said, hey, Jacksonville is a potential long shot to win the AFC, but that's more of a hedge play because they're in such a weak division. This team, to me, right now, is 1A-B to win this conference. It's them in Kansas City for me. I think they've got a great opportunity to do it. Now, here's another thing why it's very important this year for Cincinnati. Joe Burrow is in the fourth year. Next year will be the fifth year rookie option, which will go to about $22 million. After that, you're going to have Ja'Marr Chase in that situation. You're not going to have that cap-friendly type of number. They've already signed Sam Hubbard to a long-term deal. Joe Mixon will come off the books in 2024. But you've got to make it work right now with T. Higgins, with Boyd, with Ja'Marr Chase. The opportunity is there. And I'm with you, Patrick. As great as Mahomes is, I don't know if Mahomes throws with the same level of accuracy that Joe Burrow does. To me, I don't know if there's a more enjoyable quarterback to watch play in the National Football League. This team's got a great opportunity. Right now, sitting plus 550. I don't think Buffalo should be ahead of them in terms of the AFC. I think the Bengals at plus 550 are a good number. And if for any reason things go wrong without Brown on the left side of that offense for Kansas City, this could be a great opportunity for Cincinnati to get back to the Super Bowl. And one other thing on Zach Taylor, 2 AFC championship games in 2 years. And let's be real here. I know people in Cincinnati will agree with me. They got hosed down the stretch in that game in Arrowhead.
Look, talking about the NFL is pretty simple. You start 2 places, quarterback and head coach.
Yep.
Zach Taylor has proven himself. We're going on and on about Burrow for good reason. The path to the AFC sets up nicely for him. Amal said potentially going to the bye 6-0. You love it. Dustin just nailed it. It's not just one of the league's best rosters as far as offense, because you think about the studs defensively as well. It's a well-rounded team. It's got something to prove. 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, a loss. The Bengals are going to be awesome this year. 11.5 at plus money. Love it. Eat it up. We continue. Hey, let's talk about that. Draft your first 5 quarterbacks starting now. We'll come back with it.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, bet $5 to get $150 in bonuses instantly over at DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app and use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, when you sign up. It's very simple. And once you do, you bet $5, you get 150 in bonuses instantly. So we're going to each rank off the Burrow conversation, our top five quarterbacks, starting today, this year. You don't have to worry about contracts or the next few years as we welcome you back here on Sharp Money. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles, the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. Of course, I'm Amal Shaw, back at the South Point in Las Vegas. Nobody cares about my vacation, but I'll tell you, Amal, because I know you're interested. I'm not going to Paris. I got a note from the passport registry yesterday that I need to send them a check for $130 because it said that an expedited passport renewal was $60. I sent $60 with my application. I just got a note saying it's not 60, it's 190, you owe us 130. I don't care about the cash, but I care about the timing. So I sent this last night, I put it in the box. So let's see, my flight leaves on the 13th. It's not gonna happen, but why is it $190? It said literally on the website it's $60 to have an expedited renewal. Can you help me there?
I think it might be 60 for the renewal plus 130 for the expedited, but I don't know because I've never done the expedited, so I'm not sure.
I kind of want to do new top 10 here. Top 10 places Patrick should go for his vacation now.
I don't think he's out of contention.
We might not be. If it gets there by Friday, it'll get there by Thursday. It left this morning.
Why can't they take Venmo by Thursday or Friday? What do they do? Why can't they take it digitally? It makes everything go so much faster.
Because they're a branch of the United States government, so ineptitude must reign supreme.
But then I got to deal with, and shout to America, but I got to deal with July 4th.
Mm.
Okay? That is, you think people are working the day or the day before or after, so you're going to have limited hours sandwiching July 4th. And shout to Thomas Jefferson. I have no issues with July 4th. You know, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams both died on July 4th, which is incredible. I mean, if you just think about the synergy. What's up, big guy?
Anyway, not going to Paris.
Hmm?
He's my second favorite TJ.
Who's your first?
Tijuana.
What a dumb game we just played. All right, let's play a better game. So, it's almost sacrilege if you didn't say you'd start a team right now with Patrick Mahomes. Somehow the guy doesn't get the respect he deserves, and he continues just to pile up numbers and championships. So the rings are there. We got to give Mahomes credit. If you guys are starting with anybody at the top of your top five, if you're starting a team today, then Mahomes, correct me.
No, I'll give you the list in order for me. Patrick Mahomes, number one. Joe Burrow, number two. Justin Herbert, number three. Jalen Hurts, number four. Josh Allen, number five.
So you said four was Herbert. Three was Herbert. Who was four?
Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
And number five was Josh Allen. By the way, never in a million years would I have thought Jalen Hurts is a top five quarterback. I didn't know if Jalen Hurts would be a top five quarterback in the state of Oklahoma in 2023.
My list is different than yours, big guy. Let's hear yours.
Patrick Mahomes, number one. Joe Burrow, number two.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson, number three.
Lamb Jam.
Josh Allen, number four. Jalen Hurts, number five.
So you've got Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts. I would say your biggest omission would be Herbert. I'm just saying Amal has him three.
I'm a little sick of Justin Herbert, if I'm being totally honest with you guys. I'm just a little over the hype and everything Staley's fault when things go wrong and they don't ever get over the hump. And yet he's just like, he catches no shrapnel in this. Like somehow it's always everyone else's fault, never Justin Herbert's.
If I may defend him here very quickly, Keenan Allen's injured. Mike Williams has been on injured reserve since he left Clemson. And the reality of it is Staley makes some of the dumbest decisions you've ever seen in your life. All Justin Herbert does is just efficiency at its finest. 25 touchdowns last year, 10 INTs. This guy's just tremendous.
I think he's
my
very good quarterback.
My list is completely different.
I think he's very good, but I think he gets no blame, and the team lets everyone down all the time.
All right, you two, separate. Okay, here goes mine. Mahomes 1, Burrow 2. No question.
Yeah.
We all agree. In fact, like, he can't put Burrow ahead of Mahomes, but I kind of want to.
But I don't think any of us would disagree.
But, I think we all want to, but we can't.
You can't.
Yeah, we want to.
Mahomes is the only quarterback who has a chance right now to catch Brady to be the greatest quarterback of all time.
He's True. Also the only quarterback who I think could win with any, like, any NFL average receivers.
Yes.
He could still put up his numbers.
That's
but
true.
Why in my soul do I believe Burrow is better?
Because of the accuracy. Joe Burrow, to me, has got that Dan Marino level, Aaron Rodgers level of accuracy.
And I think Joe Burrow runs his own offense. I think he's borderline Peyton Manning with how he sees the field and knows
so
what
So you're
he
calling
needs to do
Zach Taylor
ball.
A Donkey Kong?
No, I'm. Am I calling Tony Dungy a Donkey Kong? Well, maybe I am.
Dungy's a dog.
100%. By the way, Joe
Dungy,
Burrow.
Dungy luckboxed his way into a chair. Let's stop it.
Joe Burrow, to me, is already
Cover
basically at a better level of success than Peyton Manning almost was, right? They won one Super Bowl in Indianapolis. You talk about it, they're like the Atlanta Braves in terms of failure.
Yeah, I would put up Peyton Manning as the greatest regular season quarterback I've ever witnessed in my life.
I don't disagree with that, but you got to win in the postseason. That's where you're judged.
Every time you turned on a Colts game in his prime, boring. They were on the other team's 30-yard line.
It also helps when you got Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison on the other side.
Yeah, but then he also created Austin Collie and all these random Dallas Clark. He created these guys. They were nothing.
Does his ring say Von Miller?
Dustin, do you want to do 4 more minutes on Peyton Manning, or can I do my list?
You can do your list.
I mean, geez, it's unbelievable. All right, big guy. Mahomes, Burrow. But you know, like, if the two of them were sitting here, put it this way. If Mahomes and Burrow were in this room with me, this small studio, and they were staring at me, and I had to pick one to win a game tomorrow, I think I'd be more afraid of Burrow. Like, he's got something about him. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you like
Mahomes is...
You want to go on a date with Burrow. That's the difference. Like, he has, like, an it factor about
Listen,
him.
Do you want to talk about something, Dustin? I would say that.
If Joe Burrow asked me out on a date, I would say yes.
Joe Cool?
He's very cool. Because, like, it's just so natural. But continue with your list. I don't want to distract you.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate you. Good luck. Number three, I had a guy I'm not even a big fan of, but he's just ridiculous. And a little bit of a weird year last year, Josh Allen. Number four, I got Jalen Hurts. What?
Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen is another guy I'm a little over as well.
Well, I'm over you, and I only got 2 days until I'm a month off of you, so I'm glad. Now, number five on my list, neither of you had. You guys want to take a guess who it is?
Tua?
Yeah, right. Good one.
I don't know. I can't think of anybody else right
Trevor
now.
Trevor Lawrence.
That's fair. Yeah,
oh,
Lawrence.
Yeah, he was very close for me. I think that's a good pick.
I had him right there. I had him at seven, actually. I would have put Lamar Jackson at six and then Trevor Lawrence at seven. I would put
Lamar Jackson at six, and then I would put Herbert. So the big, I guess, discrepancy with the three of us would be I love Lamar Jackson at three for you, Dustin. I like that play. And then your third was Herbert.
Yep.
Amal. So those two kind of seem to be not a point of contention, but we all agree Lamar Jackson and Herbert are awesome. It's just how to rank them. It's year to year with how talented these guys are.
I would agree with you, but I think Josh Allen benefits from having one of the top five receivers in the National Football League and Stephon Diggs. I think Diggs is a difference maker. That's why Josh Allen is there. Jalen Hurts, to me, when you combine his ability to throw the ball, which has just absolutely exceeded my expectations, and then his running ability. You know, a friend of mine and I were talking about in the Super Bowl. He goes, I would have just run Jalen Hurts four straight plays. They were never going to stop him from getting 10 yards.
Big guy, you got Trevor Lawrence at five.
I think we're going to find out a lot about Trevor Lawrence this year with the addition of Ridley, with so many weapons on offense, with that team having some continuity for the first time in his career in the NFL after he went from Urban Meyer to Doug Peterson. I think there's a chance Trevor Lawrence is higher on everyone's list this time next year.
I would argue we found out a lot about him coming out of the halftime last year in the postseason when they were down 200-0 and he came back and won the football game. Like, I would argue that was a good opportunity that he showed us something, right? What was the halftime score in that game?
I think 27-7 or 27-6, somewhere in that
something
range.
Like that.
It was over. It was over.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was confident the game was over.
Hey, here's a challenge for you, Dustin, since you're a big Tony Dungy fan. He wrote a book, Read the book.
I read it.
And when I come back on August 1st, I want a book report on Tony Dungy's book.
I read it. I already read it, and all it did was make me feel bad that I never celebrated Christmas.
I was going to say, did you go to church after every chapter? Because anyway, good stuff. Top five quarterbacks impromptu. The big guy freaked out in the first hour. Amal on Zach Taylor. It's a full hour. When we come back, Zach Harper, another Zach, joins us.